Wait, wait, stop. That's the one.
Welcome to Zenten Speaks, a show where I make new friends and reconnect with old ones. A show where everyone's stories may inspire you to tell your own story. In this podcast, we encourage everyone to get rid of shame, guilt, fear, doubt, and judgments for themselves and for others, and replace those with love, empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, and to do your best in everything that you do. In essence, to get rid of things that no longer serve your well-being, to be true to yourself and be honest with others.
Wow. Are you receiving counseling at the moment for your past or even your present?
I know I should. I know I would benefit from it, and I'm definitely willing to, but I can't because of time and money. Like, it's super expensive, and being a full-time single dad while working full-time, while working overtime, I'm working like 56 hours a week lately. I scheduled today off work for this, but
Thank you very much.
No problem. It's hard to find time, but the main holdback is money. Like, therapy is super expensive. I mean, if I could find something affordable, I would, but I do take, I'm still on medication that's working well enough for me. I've never had any problems with being dangerous towards my kids. I haven't had any of that suicidal ideation since it's been a few years at least. Like I haven't even thought about things like that for a while. I'm in a pretty good place emotionally and psychologically now.
Mm-hmm. That's good to hear. That's awesome. I've tried therapy because my doctor is still like, it's free, go get it. I live in New York City. And so I went for 3 or 5 sessions. And then she was like, I don't know why you're here. It's wasting time. Because I tend to be a self-help book kind of person, or even like watching motivational speeches or listening to podcasts and reading books. And I hold myself accountable for a lot of stuff. So I tend to go toward healing. So I don't really need a counseling because, yeah. But I've tried it just so I can say I tried it, so I can basically try it instead of like not trying it and not knowing. I've noticed you have a tattoo on your right arm. So
yeah, I got a few.
When you got that, my journey continues. Oh, nice.
Yeah, and the semicolon. That's for my suicide awareness. It reminds me what I've been through and that I have so much to keep going and keep living. I got so much going for me to keep on going. And then I've got this one. It's music notes and the music staff and the letter R for my oldest daughter, C for my middle daughter, L for my son. Those are my 3 kids. So that's my love of my kids and music. And then my other one, music symbol. Oh, nice. And the name in the middle there is my daughter's name, the one that I have full time.
Uh-huh. Are those lines a heartbeat?
Yeah. Yeah, those are, yep. That's a treble clef and a bass clef there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you got tattoos, were you over it, or did you ever feel the guilt and shame because you're not supposed to have tattoos? Or so were you over it then?
This one was my first one, and I got that after I had already stopped going to church. So it wasn't even an issue. Like I didn't even give it any second thought, because the church does teach like the body is a temple. And so they teach you not to desecrate it with tattoos and extra piercings and all that. But at that point in my life, I wasn't going to church anymore. It was like 2017, I think, when I got the first one. And I had stopped going in 2015. So it wasn't even an issue for me to get tattooed.
Question I have for you is, what happens to the Mormon underwear? Did they confiscate it from you?
The Mormon underwear, the magic underwear, the Jesus jammies.
I watched a video and then I was taught to the video not to call it magic because it's offensive. But so do they go to your home and grab it from you so you cannot wear it anymore?
No, it's, I mean, the reason people do call it magic underwear is because a lot of people in the church actually believe that it physically protects them. Like, they hear these bullshit stories of someone gets shot where their garments are and like the bullet doesn't hurt them. None of those stories have ever been proven to be true. Or these stories of people that have been caught on, like, burned with fire, but they're not burned at all where their garments are covering. Again, none of it's true. None of those stories have been verified and proven to be true. It's just, you know how it goes with stories. People tell stories so much, it gets passed along so much that people believe it's true. So that's why it's like magic underwear, because some people believe that it literally protects them from physical harm. They don't, nobody actually like has legal, has any kind of authority over the garments. Like, the bishop will tell you, you have to wear your garments to keep going to the temple. And they ask you in your recommend interviews, the interview to get a temple recommend, they ask you, are you wearing your garments? Do you wear your garments as instructed? So you have to wear them if you want to keep going to the temple. But that's all up to everybody, has individual interpretation. Like, some people feel okay not wearing them all the time. Some people feel like they have to wear them all the time. When I stopped going to church, obviously I had no use for them, so I stopped wearing them and I started wearing normal underwear again.
How many sets do they give you, or do you have to purchase it?
Yeah, you have to go buy them from like Deseret Book or whatever the other church stores are that have church materials. But to even buy them, you have to have a temple recommend. Like, they won't let just anybody off the, anyone who's not a member go buy them. You have to actually show your temple recommend to be able to buy them. Just buy however many you need.
How about that white garment when you get baptized? Do you purchase that as well?
No, that's just like a, you're talking about like the jumpsuit type thing that people wear? Yeah. No, that's just at the church. They provide that. Like, they have one in the closets there that like everyone uses the same one. Even, I mean, they wash them, but
I'm just kidding. Yeah, I've seen them in photos. And so I'm doing an experiment, and I don't know how long I'm willing to go through it. I was studying with that kid that I've been talking to for months. And I don't feel, whenever we have studies, I don't feel that I'm getting the juice of it. So I had to quit him and talk to another elder that often wanted for me to do studies. And I said, hey, do you have anyone in Brooklyn I can do studies with? And so he recommended me to two elders. And to find out, they moved to Manhattan. So now they had to, for some reason, they can't study with me anymore. And they were the best, I felt. They answered questions. They felt like it was perfect. Whenever they have the studies, it was great. And then the people in Brooklyn, there's a lot of silence, a lot of ums, a lot of, yeah, man, great, awesome. And I'm like, and I understand they're kids, and kids like to mimic other people and saying all these word fillers.
Yeah.
I'm like, can we get to the lesson? And so I might quit them and either find someone else. And I'm just annoyed that those kids, and I guess they have to follow protocol. They told me they would love to study with me, but they can't because I'm in Brooklyn. Because I want to do this. I want to do this, but I don't want to do this because I feel like it's wasting my time. Mm. I'm just wasting my time, but I want to do that experiment. So I want to study and say, of course, I tell them words they want to hear whenever there's a lesson. I say, yes, I believe, and I pray on it, and I believe, blah, blah, blah. And like you were saying, we repeat things because yeah. I see them doing the testimony. And when they said, what do you think of that testimony? And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. And I testify too. And yeah, hope they're not watching this. They're not supposed to anyway, right?
That's awesome.
And so eventually they want me to go to church, and I've been delaying that because of the tithing. So you mentioned you only give tithing when after you get baptized and not before.
Right. It's, yeah, you're not supposed to have to pay tithing before you get baptized, because if you don't get baptized, then you're technically, well, you're not a member until you get baptized. So it wouldn't really be tithing. It would just be like a donation if you gave anyone before getting baptized.
Do they put a plate in your face and then you're pressured to put money in there?
No, the tithing, the way it usually works is for people that have been baptized, people that are members, they'll get a little envelope and they'll put their either cash or a check in there, fill out the form with like your address, name and all that, and the amount that you're donating, and just give it to the bishop or one of the counselors. So there's no, it's not a public thing that everyone sees. It's,
oh, that's great.
It's private in that way, but the bishop and his counselors, they know how much you're paying and if you're paying and things like that, but it's not.
Okay, that's so much better. Jehovah's Witnesses, they have boxes on front and back. So because they said, just like there's a story in the Bible where a couple, I don't know if you remember that story, where they died because they lied how much they gave to the church. And God struck them right there. I forget their names. I think the lady was Ananias or something. And so because of that, Jehovah's Witnesses believe if you put it without boasting how much you're giving, then you're not forced to lie about it. Which I prefer that, because then you're not boasting, and or even you're not pressured, because if you don't put anything in a box for months, no one would know unless someone is really watching you. Yeah. And I've gone to some churches where they put a plate in your face and I just pass the plate. And of course, other people will judge. And I hate that because I'm not part of it. I'm just experimenting. I'm just going places and I have the time and I'm like, hey, let me see how this like, because I'm not atheist or agnostic. I'm just living my MF life to the fullest, really. I don't need to say I believe or disbelieve, because what does that really do for my life, except for my ego, really?
Same, yeah.
So, yeah.
I left out quite a bit of detail, but the most important things is, now that I'm not in the church anymore, I really see all the damage and harm it does to people. And I just want to the way I feel, I'm not preaching to anybody, but the way I feel is humans are innately good. Okay. We're not broken. We're not lost. We're not damaged. We're not unworthy. We are worthy. We're whole. We're good. We're not a natural enemy to God. Like the scriptures say, the natural man is an enemy to God. That's bullshit. Like, I'm a parent. I have kids. My kids are not my enemies. I love them. They're perfect. They're worthy. They're whole. They're amazing the way they are. Any kind of God that doesn't feel that same way, I have no interest in. I'm not interested in a God that says he'll love me only if I go to a certain church, if I pay tithing, if I wear certain underwear. And so I don't believe in God, because, I mean, there's the whole science bit. I value science because it's provable facts. I don't value anything that's not provable, anything that requires faith. There's no way to prove it. So I just have no use for it. My motivations to do good is I care about people. I'm empathetic. I'm compassionate. I feel like everybody deserves to love and have love in their life and be loved by somebody, regardless of gender, regardless of sexual orientation, regardless of male, female, or any of that. I feel like everybody deserves to have love, and nobody should ever have those rights taken away, because we're all human. You know, we're all people. Everything good that I do, as far as being generous, kind, helpful, and useful, it's all out of the goodness of my heart, because I don't believe in heaven or hell or God or Satan. So I'm not doing good things out of motivation to try to get to heaven. I do good things because I want to be a good person, and it makes me feel good, and I want to help other people. That's all it comes down to. I'm driven by love, compassion, and empathy.
Definitely. That's exactly how I live my life, and I agree with that 100%. And that's one of the reasons I left the church too, beside my parents, especially my mother, not being an exemplar Jehovah's Witness. And I was just like, okay, if this was all true, then my parents would have done it, because I, just like your father, would have different masks, different places. And so people are motivated by the fear or the rewards. So therefore, they're not truly good in their heart. And so I've noticed that, and I make sure that I'm doing things for the goodness of my heart, especially since I'm not in any religion. Anything that I do is based on my heart. It's not based on, oh, I'm going to be struck down, or I'm going to be rewarded for this. And I think that's the best way, in my opinion, in living my life. And as you mentioned, that's the best way of living life. If you're not doing things for incentives, it's kind of like just being someone's friend. Hey, I'm going to be your friend so I can get celebrity rights, and because you have celebrity friends, or I can get some money or go traveling. You're not doing it for perks like that. You're just being someone's friend because you love to be around that person and their character. And I think that's right. The ultimate best way to be in life. Definitely.
I do want to say one more quick thing about that. People will wonder, what's the point of living if I don't believe in heaven or hell or God or Satan or any kind of afterlife? And I'm okay with not knowing what there is after I die. I'm totally fine with that. And it gives, because I don't know what happens after I die, it makes me focus on this life. Like, I care about this life, what we have right now. This is what I know I have. I know for sure I have this life, but also I don't know when it's going to end. And so I just be the best person I can be. I love myself. I don't let myself have too much guilt or shame. And I love other people, and I focus on people that are alive here right now in this world. Because when we're gone, none of this matters. So just do the best we can right now. That's my philosophy.
Definitely. I wanted to ask you, anyone watching this who is a secret Mormon who's willing to, who wish they could get out, but they're in there because of family pressure, or they have nowhere else to go, or they're just so brainwashed, and you just feel basically in a cage. What kind of word of inspiration would you give them?
It might seem scary, the thought of leaving the church. If you're feeling trapped, if you have grown up in it, it might seem scary. It might seem like there's nothing else out there. But once you get through the hard parts of realizing what's real and what's not real, it does get better. It gets easier eventually. And church is not the only place to find good, supportive people. There's lots of people out there that are willing to help you get through the hard parts. Anybody who wants to, feel free to reach out to me or anybody else. There's, I guess I could say some references of things that have helped me get through my deconstruction. I've listened to Mormon Stories podcast. It's a podcast run by John DeLynn, and he's got a whole community of ex-Mormons and post-Mormons that are super supportive. basically just, if you don't feel safe talking to your own family while you're feeling trapped, don't give up and think there's no hope. There's plenty of post-Mormon and ex-Mormon groups on Facebook. There's a whole community of post-Mormons out there that are supporting and accepting and loving, that can help people get through these hard times. So just don't give up and know that you're not alone. You're not crazy. And it will get easier and better eventually. And also allow yourself to have feelings of doubt. And if you have doubts, explore those doubts. Don't just push them off. Make sure to explore your doubts, because you can come to better realizations if you explore your doubts.
Well, thank you so much, Josh, for your time. And we had a lot of technical difficulties, and I'm very grateful that you're patient and we continue with this. And definitely your stories will be shared, and thank you for your courageous journey, because I know it's not easy and going through similar situations. And I did not stay that long. I left Jehovah's Witness as soon as I could, 19 and a half. But I've spoken to so many people who spent 50 years being religion, and leaving is not easy, because they have to start over. And starting over anything is not fun. Even when you start over a job, that can be hard. So starting over life itself is hard. So thank you very much for sharing your journey with us. And I'll see you around.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. Yeah. So from today, like I just posted the first kind of introduction episode, like on the 4th. So 6 weeks from now, I might post yours, but I might even post it earlier on. So who knows? I'm just editing, because I'm working and editing and interviewing. And that's why I couldn't do interviews earlier, because I did like 20 interviews in like 2 weeks.
Holy shit.
It was like, yeah. And I had to work and also edit. So I was like overwhelmed. And yeah, this week is crazy as well. But since you said you could do today, so I took today and tomorrow off as my weekend to do interviews. And so we're able to go this longer because someone who is anonymous canceled.
Oh.
Yeah, because they're still in the church, but they wanted to be anonymous. So they wanted to do like a voice thing. So they got scared, so they canceled. It worked out because we talking and we needed to go. Yeah. Yeah. And as when things happen in life, I'm kind of like 98% stress-free. Something happens, I'm like, well, as you mentioned, living in the present. Well, that's life. It's like, I feel like their story would be very juicy because they're still in there and there's stuff they want to tell me. But, you know, there'll be someone else, and it is what it is. And so, and then there you go. I had to spend more time with you, so that was perfect. So thank you very much for your patience and waiting.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Yeah, definitely. All right.
Is there like a common theme to your podcast? Like, or is it just all kinds of random people?
Yeah, random people. So my theme is, so I had a realization through last year. Like every year has a theme for me for some reason. I don't even like put themes on there, but it's there. I had a realization that 2020 for me was a year of stop the bullshit. Like, stop my bullshit. Stop the bullshit of wearing a mask, because obviously the world doesn't care. Of course, the world thinks it cares, but it's all bullshit. It doesn't matter, as you said. Like, once you're dead, it's all matter. Like, Corona happened and you don't have a job. And if you didn't have unemployment, if you were giving unemployment, lucky you. And if you didn't, then you're fucked. So basically, I was like, this world is bullshit. So my theme was no more shame, no more fear, no more guilt, no more judgments for myself. And I'm tired of wearing a mask. And so, because I'm able, as you know, if you're able to love yourself, you're able to love others. So if I'm able to not do those things toward me, then I'm able to not do it for other people. So I don't care to guilt people to do or say anything anymore. I'm done shaming people. And not that I was doing any of these things continuously, like purposely, but subconsciously we do little things sometimes. So now I'm consciously make sure that I don't guilt people. I don't shame them and I don't judge them and things like that.
Right.
And so I started a solo podcast to talk about my journey. Yeah. And then as I make the post, people were saying, hey, I have similar stories. I want to share this. So that's why I started integrating other people with it. And so, of course, it makes it more. Yeah, it's kind of like when you start something, you never know how it's going to morph into. And since right. I just posted, I have interviewed more Jehovah's Witnesses than Mormons. Funny thing is, well, you're not the first Mormon. But, or ex-Mormon, you're the first one who has not canceled.
Really?
Yeah. For well, some reason, I don't know what it is. We'll see. Like my life, I love experimenting and researching. Yeah. And I'm thinking maybe the church was like, is so strong that people still feel like, even people who have left, they're on the groups, they're talking stuff about Mormons. And they want to be in it. And then I have the questions ready for him and we set up a time and everything. And then when that day comes, they're like, I don't feel like I can do this.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of, and that's the way the church is a cult. I'm just going to say it's a fucking cult. Like it indoctrinates people so much with fear and guilt and shame to the point where even if they stop going, they still feel allegiance to it and don't feel comfortable opening up about it. And I guess this is something significant that might even be like a tagline for my interview, maybe a tagline or as part of the synopsis is I'm an ex-Mormon pioneer, so to say, because you know how a Mormon pioneer was a Mormon that joined the church, was the first to join the church in their family line. I'm the first in my family line from a long line of pioneers to not only become inactive and stop going to church, but I went further. I resigned membership from the church. I'm the first person in my line of family to resign from the church and speak out against the church. Mm. I'm an ex-Mormon pioneer. And my daughter, my youngest daughter, the one that is with me full time, she's the first that was not baptized or not baptized. She was the first that was not blessed in the church. So she's a non-Mormon pioneer in my line of family.
Nice. And
since leaving the church, like I've become really open-minded, a lot less judgmental, way more accepting. I mentioned that I'm a feminist. I'm not the type that goes out and like, fuck men are evil. I'm definitely not like that, but I want women to have more rights and become more equal. I want women to be recognized and valued more and have an equal voice. And so I'm more of a divine classic feminist, I suppose. But also something that's become huge for me since leaving the church is I've become an LGBTQ ally. And I don't just like speak up for them and their rights, but I actually donate to some charities that support LGBTQ rights. I donate to the Trevor Project, the Human Rights Campaign. So those two do a lot for LGBTQ people. And then I also donate to the American Society for Suicide Prevention. I think it's called. It's the one that helps raise awareness for suicide and helps provide resources for people with that. And then I also donate to Mormon Stories Podcast, which mm-hmm. helps Mormons and ex-Mormons. It helps people that have left the church. So nice. I've definitely become more aware and everything since leaving the church.
So that makes sense, maybe because since you're an ex-Mormon pioneer, that you're so much more willing to speak about things instead of the other people who probably just left and they have still hold allegiance to. That makes sense.
I'll continue to speak out against the church because it does so much harm and damage. And if we don't talk about it, it continues, you know, just like I said, silence is violence. Silence can be a killer. So I'm definitely willing to speak out against the church and the harm that it does.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I'm from the bottom of my heart, I know we've spoken for like over 2 weeks or so. And because I had a lot of moments dropping out, and for some reason, like, it's perfect that we chatted today, but I wanted it to happen sooner and somehow scheduled or whatever wasn't happening. And when other moments were canceling, and I was like, damn, is it a Mormon thing? Like, but then whenever you respond, I feel like a little breath, like, because I was chatting with that guy for like a week. And then this morning I received a text. I was like, wow, like he really thought about this and he canceled, but interesting.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. Go ahead. You have a question.
Thank you so much for your time. I really enjoyed this. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks. You the same. All right. I'll see you around.
All right. Bye. See you.
Bye.